Living on Prana. A message from Mother Earth, Gaia channeled by Pepper Lewis, Friday, 26th of March, 2010. Question: I really enjoy good food and I think that eating is a joy. I also enjoy listening to cultural music, designing and wearing colorful clothing, and painting provocative art. I have heard that in the near future we will feed ourselves through the solar waves of our local sun, lose our hair, and even wear the same garment. I can see how this might simplify things considerably, but why would our evolution require us to abandon customs that are unique to Earth? Isn't the Earth exceptionally precious as it is, diversity and all? Gaia. The Earth is indeed unique, diverse and precious. Among all other planets there is no other Earth, just as there is no other you. Our Sun has its own unique characteristics, as does the Moon and our solar system, which serves as both neighborhood and community. The universe is mysterious, awe-inspiring and ever-changing. It could never be described as uniform or commonplace. And the omniverse, well, almost everything that currently resides upon the Earth eats, drinks or consumes something. Some things, beings, even consume themselves, in a matter of speaking. Does this mean that their evolution is based upon moving away from diversity and toward uniformity? And if it does not, are they doomed to extinction? Couched within your question is a fear that you will somehow lose the individuality that you inherited from your ancestors and others who proudly carried the banner of freedom in advance of your generation. You are not alone in this fear and we will address it a little later, but perhaps we should explore some of the future possibilities you have listed above first. Most people largely believe that they must eat to survive, but this is not entirely true. You must provide your body with necessary nutrients, vitamins and other organic substances essential to human nutrition. Among these, sunlight and water are vital to longevity, health and well-being. People also eat to express appreciation, as part of family customs, and because it is enjoyable to the physical senses. Humanity's historic eating habits have been diverse and have depended largely upon how food is obtained, stored, used and discarded. Individual, cultural, social, economic, and religious factors have always influenced people's eating habits and continue to do so. A glance back at ancient Greece would show people practicing the art of equilibrium eating, or the desirable middle between two extremes, excess and efficiency. This golden mean of eating existed long before today's food pyramid. The Greeks favored snacks such as chestnuts, toasted wheat, and honey cakes. Shall I tell you that some of these were specifically designed to absorb more than their weight in alcohol? A good and wealthy host would be sure to have these cakes on hand to extend the life of a banquet-like party called a symposium. A similar look back at ancient Rome would reveal excessive gluttony, at least within some class structures and societal echelons. Roman cuisine was influenced by the enormous expansion from kingdom to republic to empire, which exposed Romans to new culinary habits and cooking techniques. Interestingly, beef was not very popular then. Cattle were working animals and their meat was usually very tough. Modern eating habits have been heavily influenced by these early cultures. The three-course meal, for instance, is Roman in origin and the result of wealthy party givers wanting to outdo one another. The story is a rich one, but suffice it to say that the Romans, who had radical ideas on many subjects, eventually discovered that the human body was not designed for long-term excess. Known for importing almost everything, wealthy Romans began to import personal Greek physicians and surgeons who eventually prescribed the first reduction regimen, or diet. Many ancient Romans did not believe in dieting, particularly since starvation was a means to punish the wealthy then. Starvation is a result of a severe reduction in vitamin, nutrient and energy intake. Starvation currently affects more than 1 in 6 people in the world. Although most cases are in third world countries, the statistics would nonetheless surprise you. and it would not be a far-fetched idea to take a good look at the community you live in. Starvation is caused by an imbalance between energy intake and energy expenditure. This imbalance can arise from one or more medical conditions, but is more commonly influenced by circumstantial situations such as famine or poverty. The most common form of starvation is malnutrition, best defined as the insufficient, excessive or imbalanced consumption of nutrients. Among first world nations of the developed world, one in four people, 25%, suffer from one or more nutritional disorders, conditioned by an under or overabundance in the diet. Second and third world nations can double and treble these numbers. Malnutrition poses a grave threat to the world's health, and those in a position to do something about it should not ignore the responsibility, not even in the short term. There is enough food on the planet to feed its hungry and enough water to keep the thirsty well hydrated. Humanity would do well to act wisely in this regard and in favor of those who only have a hollow remembrance of a meal in their stomachs. Over time and for a variety of reasons, humanity has experimented with eating or avoiding certain foods and food groups. Although a large percentage of today's population consumes beef, pork, chicken and fish, that was not always the case, and is in fact more recent than you would suspect. Humanity will continue its interest in animal flesh in the short term, less than 20 years, but will lessen its portion size over time as it becomes interested and then accustomed to more plant-based sources of protein. This will not happen overnight, but it will seem to. The wiring in your brain will begin to shift from one way of thinking to another, and your palate will follow. In the near future, your sense of smell will become more acute and your sense of taste will follow. Eyesight and hearing have both worsened during your recent technological age, but more on that at another time. And what of those who wish to nourish themselves by other means? For this is not a new subject at all. In fact, in every age and every generation there are those who seek a way apart from the norm regardless of criticism or ridicule. Those who fill their stomachs with empty foods will empty their mouths of similar words. And those who study the science of nutrition and take into account only the visible spectrum will remain blind to at least half the possibilities. Therefore, it is best to explore this with new thought receptors. As the name implies, these new thought receptors allow you to consider subjects that are in your near future, without comparison to past conclusions, faulty, incomplete or missing empirical data. In other words, new thought receptors would not conclude that an idea is impossible or ridiculous. Why? Because these receptors typically do not follow the same sequencing path as linear thoughts do. The human brain has amazing abilities, and only a minute amount of these has been tapped thus far. What the brain can conceive of, the body can most likely do, and when your brain opens the door to universal mind, the possibilities are almost endless. Those who believe they can sustain themselves through sunlight and or pranic forces more than likely can. Their job is not to convince you of the fact, for that would rob them of vital energy, but to establish within themselves a deep rapport with every aspect that depends upon the vital and essential breath. In Nadia, which literally means to fast, is not a new concept. Many cultures, religions and disciplines have examples in their histories with both substantiated and unsubstantiated accounts of living without food and even without water. Breatharianism, Sangazing and Vitalism are all related concepts that maintain that humans can sustain their bodies on prana, or the vital force inherent in all things. Previously esoteric practices ascribed only to Eastern ascetics, these practices have been gaining in popularity in the West as well. The last 100 years or so has seen a considerable increase in those who endorse and also teach how to live on the energy given off by sunlight. Science has not validated these practices and is not likely to for the time being. Conventional medicine will not lend its support, nor will alternative practices that separate body and mind from spirit. As of this writing, there are only a handful of people upon the earth who are capable of living on light. The majority of these are not terrestrial in origin, and it is doubtful that they would make their differences public. There are a few living examples who have adjusted to a moderate lifestyle that is light sustainable, but not in the long term. Some of them would tell you otherwise, but the days ahead will speak for themselves. The Earth is also the modest and humble host to perfected beings who are able to manifest energetic bodies of light at will. Their bodies can appear quite solid, but are in fact isometric. Crystalline systems that have three equal axes at right angles to one another. It is best to think of these as physical holograms. Prana, or vital life, is only one of five life-sustaining forces that support living beings. Prana flows through a network of channels that form the structure of the subtle body. It is commonly associated with the breath, but can also be found in blood and in other bodily fluids. The auric field has many energetic sheaths that surround and protect it, and one of these is also a pranic sheath. Prana sustains both the physical body and the thought body. It permeates all living things, including the sun, which is also a source of prana. Some traditions further classify prana into subcategories that direct its vital energy first through basic currents and then onto more subtle faculties. It is possible to control the breath so as to influence and direct the flow of prana. Those who do are in command of increased physical vitality, mental agility, as well as access to the gateway that exists beyond the transits of the body. Although the techniques are rather simple, they must be practiced and understood, as it is possible to encounter adverse effects under certain circumstances. Even ordinary breath is sacred, because at its core is the same primordial energy as that of the all in the all. Controlled or empowered breath enables a connection to the cosmic forces that can lead to profound transformation in a human being. Many spiritual traditions believe that working to establish this link is paramount to all higher levels of attainment. Our planet, resplendent with diversity, reflects light in a variety of unique frequencies and bandwidths, each offering its own benefits and qualities. Light contains all colors, which support humanity with subtle, but important nutrients. Whole or white light is pure and complete. It contains all colors, wavelengths and frequencies. Sunlight does not. White light and sunlight are not the same, but the average human would not be able to distinguish between the two. Although light is always whole, it does not always reflect its full spectrum, nor is it always absorbed. Whole light is a pure and excellent whole food, but it may not sustain all beings, particularly those who are in the process of transitioning from one dimension to the next. A candidate who desires to live exclusively on light would need to transmute any remaining obstructions or blockages that would otherwise be deflected by whole light. In this example, the healing properties of full-spectrum light would be drawn to the candidate's impasse, but the wallness of white light would not. Sunlight cannot at this time provide the average human body with all of the nutrients it requires. It is possible to extract enough pranic force from sunlight to maintain the body at a low level of life force, but shorter intervals are suggested and for specific purposes. If you wish to live on light, it is best to busy yourself with your fears and concerns, because the light will find these first so that it might heal them, which may not leave enough for you to eat. Without addressing these issues, you would quickly starve and feel that you are not a good candidate for such an intense program. You may retrain your body, but you must understand its language first. You must make it your partner and not deny the requests and messages that it sends to you. What are the advantages to living on prana? Those who choose this path must do so consciously, with a favorable disposition, and at least moderate health. Candidates should be able to guide the pranic force in sunlight through the breath or through other means to all appropriate physical and energetic channels. This requires knowledge of effective breathing techniques, both shallow and profound. Specific meditations also help to accumulate and store prana. As was said earlier, few on the planet are able to sustain themselves on prana alone, however those who do so will not hunger or thirst. Their sleep requirements will be less and their energy more balanced over extended periods of time. Those who are exceptionally adept may also be able to slow the aging process. What are the disadvantages to living on prana? Without specific and ongoing discipline and under certain influences, it will be difficult to receive enough nutrients. Those who fail to connect with the unique dynamics of their individual needs may not observe subtle changes in the body that indicate a change is needed. A pranic life is not for everyone and is not 100% effective given only an average quality of sunlight and air. Those who disregard the guidance above will find that as the body begins to rebel, they feel more hungry and thirsty than ever before. Their bodies will have difficulty in releasing toxins, especially if water is withheld. Some may believe that they are living on prana when they are not. In some cases, cells, hair and nails will suffer. Aging may begin prematurely and, or accelerate. Can you imagine the near future where supermarket shelves are filled with packaged sunlight? What about pranic breathing chambers? Antioxidant rejuvenation environments infused with oxygenized light. Indeed, plans are already underway for this and more, but there is no reason to shut down your favorite pizza parlor yet. Your future is yours to make of it what you will. It will be diverse enough for those who enjoy cuisine and fine dining, and even hamburgers and fast food will be around for a while longer. But things will not remain the same as they are today, because you are changing faster than your food is changing. Your needs and desires are changing and those of your body are changing too. Savor the moments that are yours and those that you are invited to share with others. Hair and nails is another subject worth considering. It is interesting to note that while you fear losing your individual creativity in this regard, your current choices are somewhat limited, and for the most part are determined by your genetic heredity. You struggle against this by chemical and other means and swear that one day you wish to be rid of it altogether. Nonetheless, and for the sake of discussion, in the further or mid-future, which is just more than 100 years from now, humanity will have less total hair upon its body than it does now. Over time, hair will become a recessive trait and move into a dormant array of the DNA. This will also affect the hair upon your head, which will grow in different patterns than it does now. You will not become bald in the process, at least not by current standards, and as it seems from this perspective, the change will be quite attractive for both men and women. Your hair will be slightly more uniform in appearance than it is today, but how it is arranged will remain a matter of choice just as it is today. There will be styles and stylists to suit every expression. You may be curious to know that the earliest Egyptians were quite bald and adorned themselves with many different kinds of headdresses and hats. Their heads were slightly more elongated than yours and their necks a little longer, even though they were smaller in stature. They were beautiful specimens to behold, thus beauty is indeed always in the eye of the beholder. Garments and clothing have a long and varied history upon the earth, influenced as much by climate and the availability of materials as by culture and fashion trends. Today, synthetic substitutes have all but replaced the natural skins, silks and cottons of long ago. There will be a reversal in this trend and those who advocate an organic and natural lifestyle will make inroads as they do from time to time and as indicated by the cycles of nature. That aside, humanity is beginning to envision itself as part of a galactic family. It is likely that less than 40 years from now the first colonies will settle upon the moon and also upon Mars. As you might imagine, these expeditions will require a completely different style of dress. The necessary garments will be much thinner than the bulky ones worn by astronauts today and made of a material that is married to its wearer. These unique garments will be able to regulate the health of the wearer, including vital statistics and mental balance, and even predetermine how long each individual can safely remain in such hostile terrains. Although these garments will be constructed for first and second generation space colonies, the fashion industry will adapt and style them to suit those who favor forward-looking styles. Over time, similar customizable suits will become widely available to the general population, allowing individuals to program their garments to monitor a variety of health-related functions. Is this a move toward uniformity? Maybe. Or perhaps it is one of many trends, and one of the ways in which humanity accustoms itself to change. You are individual sparks of light and no two are alike, yet you still struggle against both poles of diversity and uniformity. You are one family, and one day you will come to terms with the meaning of this. Until then, celebrate your individual way of life and encourage others to do the same. Offer an opinion if it is invited, but do not impose your will upon another, nor judge the decisions they make. The physical earth will continue to evolve in its own precious ways, celebrating the diversity of life in every kingdom. My sentience will do the same, welcoming guests from other worlds, extending words of diplomacy when invited to do so, offering sanctuary to those who request it, nurturing and protecting all that is within my reach, and allowing the wisdom of the All to guide all things in their due course and due time. Copyright 2007 Pepper Lewis and the Peaceful Planet. All of the information presented is for your reading and enjoyment. It can be shared in whole or in part with others who may find it of value, as long as it is for personal use. In so doing, we ask that you always include the copyright notice located at the bottom of each document. This ensures our ability to make this information available to those who do not have access to the internet. All other reprints, including electronic transmissions designed for commercial use, must receive permission from the author. Publications and websites interested in carrying this information as monthly columns or special features are encouraged to do so. If the material must be shortened in length, please clearly state that it is an edited version and refer the readers to the original full-length version.